No, I just, it's great to be here with you today, and it's great to see you here today. And I'm going to introduce our speaker today because he was one of the first people I met when I went to seminary. We had the good fortune to live in Swickley, which is one of the prettiest towns in America. And his mother-in-law sold us our house there. And then she was quite an evangelist and got us down to St. Stephen's Church there in Swickley, and my son in school at St. Stephen's and all. But Dave and Laurie, and I call her Laurie, Farah, had a son, Luke, who was my son Andrew's age. And so Sally, his mother-in-law, who was evangelizing us into Swickley, got us all together. They also had a swimming pool at their house. So it was quite a, we moved there in the summer for me to take summer Greek. And so it was quite a special blessing to be able to take the family over to their house. And they really knew how to have fun and entertain. And so we got to know Dave and Laura and the kids. And Andrew got to have a buddy right off the bat, which was really a great thing for him as well. So I don't know if you've seen anything of Dave's bio. You're going to hear a bit of his bio today. But I think the thing that I found out about Dave that most interested me and intrigued me, and maybe he'll talk about it today, was that he went into the Navy to serve and ended up being made an air traffic controller on an aircraft carrier. And I just find that to be one of the most fascinating things that you could possibly be trained to do. And if he doesn't talk about it today, I'm going to keep him here afterwards to get him to tell me what that was like. But I'll say this about Dave. Dave studies things in detail. And particularly the Christian faith and other things as well. He's a big history buff. And that makes a good foundation for studying the Bible and for studying the Old Testament, particularly in the history and the faith of Israel. And so he has a wealth of knowledge that I'll never have about all about those regions and those people. And that gives him a perspective that's much broader than most folks I know have. And so if you want to talk Bible with somebody, there's a guy that's a lot of fun to talk the Bible with. So Dave and Laurie moved here about 3 years ago from Pittsburgh because their daughter went to school here and ended up marrying a guy here and having a grandchild here. And they saw the light and came down to Charleston. And as he said in his little bit that's on the posters and on the internet, his love of early American history and his love of Anglican faith makes Charleston the perfect place to live. So Dave, thank you for agreeing to share with us today and come and tell us a bit of your story.
All right. Thank you. I wasn't going to talk much about my air traffic control days, other than I really do like to tell pilots where to go. And I was very lucky to get that job. When I was a kid, I really struggled with reading. I had dyslexia. I had lazy eye. I probably had ADHD. I had so much energy, I could have run around the classroom every 5 minutes. And that just was not, didn't play well. When I was a kid, they called you lazy, and they had a lot of names for me when I was a kid. And I just struggled with reading. I just couldn't do it. But I found that math was easy. I mean, it was 10 numbers. They were always the same number. I just couldn't get English. I mean, you learn how to say the P, and you learn how to say the H, and then all of a sudden now it sounds like F, and I just couldn't get it. I couldn't get it. It was too much. I finally did overcome that, but I really struggled in school. And in school, I was really kind of in the lower end on most everything. And that was tough. And I didn't know why, you know, I was different, but I was just wired a little differently. But outside of school, I was a superstar. I was great at sports. I was incredible at board games. I was really good at chess and checkers and cards. I was good at jumping rope. I was good at playing jacks. I mean, any game there was, I played. And I think that's why I was such a good air traffic controller, because it was really kind of like a game. You know, it really was move this guy over here and then move here and then something happens, move him over here and get him to that spot. So I actually found I was very fortunate to get a job that I was able to do extremely well in at a young age. I had a lot of problems. My mother came to me when I was 8 years old and she said that she wanted to go hear a faith healer and that no one would go with her. Would I go with her? And she was kind of rough on me, and I thought, well, maybe this guy will fix her. So I said, yeah, I'll go. And I go there, no faith healing, just the gospel. And I give my life to Christ. I walk up to the altar, I give my life to Christ. I was a different kid. The whole way home, she's complaining that there was no faith healing. The whole way. I mean, I was just like, oh, I went here for this, and you know, I thought, you know, and Dave, I thought he was going to just, you know, touch it. And I'm like, me. And the whole time, I'm like, I'm wanting to try to tell her what happened to me, and she didn't care. You know, I mean, she just was into this thing that it wasn't what she expected. And I kind of stayed quiet about my faith because of that. I thought, well, no one cared. And though I continued to struggle through, I got through high school, didn't really have a chance to go to college, went to the Navy, did pretty well there, but I also got into, this was Vietnam, and I really got into drinking and drugging, and I was really wasting my spare time. So I got out of the military and was very fortunate to get a free scholarship back in Pittsburgh, so I went back to Pittsburgh, went to college for a year. During the summer, I got a job at a steel mill, got in a big industrial accident. I was very fortunate I didn't lose my hand, but I lost a little bit of my finger. I was off work, and I meet a girl. And I grew up in a steel town. She grew up in the town he was talking about, Swickley. I was every mother-in-law's nightmare. I'm not kidding. And I was marrying someone who was my first equal in drinking, right? And her parents were against this big time. She calls me a couple days later after we announced we wanted to get married, and she said, I got two things I want you to do, and we'll bless the marriage. And she said, you have to go to 12 premarital counseling sessions at our church, and you have to take my daughter to church the rest of her life, right? I'm like, yeah, I'm a Christian, you know. That's easy. I can do that stuff, you know. And fortunately for me, the two guys that I had to see was a guy by the name of Dr. Reverend John Guest and his sidekick, John Yates. So I had my marriage counseling by what I would call two giants in the Anglican faith. And it's like getting hit with two bricks, you know. And now John was kind of like a velvet brick, you know, but John was tough, and they were pretty tough on us. And though we didn't really change our ways, I distinctly remember leaving those sessions thinking, these were the first guys I'd ever met that I could be like. I could be a Christian like them. They loved their wives. They loved their family. They were athletic. They were smart. They were... You know, I thought, you know, if things get bad, you know, at least I have a role model, right? And things did get bad, you know, when you drink, you drug. And we finally hit a bottom. And we came to the Lord begging. I remember we woke up one morning and I turned to her and I said, you know, we need to go to AA. And she looked back at me and she said, yes. And I realized I was thinking she needed to go to AA. And she said yes because she thought I had to go to AA. But we went. And within, we did sober up. And We were going to church because I promised Sally I'd take her daughter to church every Sunday. And we're going to Falls Church in Washington, D.C. And I'm growing in my faith. Things are getting better. I'm doing better at school. Lori's doing better at work. Life is going great. I graduate college. And we decide to move back to Pittsburgh, kind of go back to our roots, and go back to St. Stephen's. We're real excited about that. So we move. I had a daughter, and we moved back and joined St. Stephen's. And for the next 8 years, my life grew tremendously in the Lord. I read everything I could. We were very fortunate. We had a seminary right down the street, and we had seminary professors teaching our Sunday morning Sunday school. And I was very fortunate because a couple of these guys were really helpful to me. A guy named Steve Smith, probably remember Steve Smith. And I would read stuff, and I'd go talk to them about it, and, you know, like, it's like I got it all wrong, right? Because I was kind of, you know, I was all over here. I was a streaming, flaming five-point Calvinist, or I was a, you know, flaming five-point Arminian. I mean, I was all over the map, and I hit this guy who kind of helped me through all that. Very fortunate, very fortunate. But I read everything, everything. And though I still was reading very slow, I was reading. I remember one time he told me to get the death of death of death in Christ. Did anybody read that? I mean, it's a Puritan. I mean, it's an unbelievably hard book to read. But he told me to get it because the foreword was by J.I. Packer, and that foreword was worth the money to buy the whole book. And he was right. It was an J.I. Packer's foreword to the death of death and death in Christ is incredible. But I decided I'm going to read the death of death, the death in Christ. I mean, it took me like a year to figure out what the death of death and the death of Christ even meant. But I got there, and I read it. And I remember the most funniest thing. He had the 24 sins of the tongue, right? This guy was a deep, deep thinker, right? But the first one was really stunning to me and really helped me in my Christian life. The first one he said, and the worst one is to ever say anything bad about your rector or your minister with one condition, if he was preaching the gospel. And basically, you're the luckiest guy in the world if you can actually sit under a person who preaches and don't you dare say anything against them.
Dave, would you just
repeat that one? Yeah. You've never received a bad letter from me, have you? But it's true. Here's John Owen, the great Puritan writer, writing this thing. And boy, did I need that. Because I was kind of critical. You know, every time I'd learn something, and if John Guest didn't believe it, you know, I had to go straighten him out, right? And it was a good lesson. It was a good lesson. And thank you, John Owen. Thank you. But anyway, after about 8 years, we were having trouble in the church, and we had a split. And somehow I found myself in the middle of that split, and on the founding board of a new church. And it was horrible, but it was also the most incredible thing that ever happened to me in my life. I had to give up a big job promotion to go away, to stay. And we built a church, and within 10 years, we built a church on a 44-acre lot, $14 million building, 2,000 people coming every Sunday. It was an incredible 10 years. Incredible. We worked night and day. I remember we would be sitting up typing up the bulletin on Saturday night, rushing off to Kinko's, you know, to get it copied off in time. I mean, it was an incredible time. I think about the troubles we're having here. And I wonder if, you know, as bad as the worst could be, might be the greatest thing that ever happened to us. You never know. So we started this church, and I was pretty involved in ministry, Bible study, I was in everything. I did everything, loved everything. And after we got things up and running about 4 to 6 years after that, I was getting kind of bored. I mean, where's all this excitement? What's all this stuff? We had a million things on the agenda every day. And my brother was teaching karate at a local karate school. My son was there, my nephew was there. And the church was decaying rapidly because, or the school, because he had, the guy was an alcoholic. And basically my brother was kind of like the last guy left with my son. And I told him, go start a karate school. Just go start one. You're great. People love you. You'll be fantastic. And he's like, Dave, I don't know anything about running business. You know, and I had a business degree. I know how to run a business. And we decide, I'm going to run the business. He runs the karate, and we'll see what happens. I was talking to Dr. Guest about that, and he says, well, you should bring it here at the church. Like karate in a church? And because I was talking to him about it, and he said, oh, yeah. He says, you know, people used to complain to me all the time about Christian rock. He says, you know, what is, you know, and he started asking me what karate was about. And, you know, basically it's a pretty physical thing, right? There is an Eastern mysticism to it, right? And some people teach that and some people don't. Some people teach it really hard and push it hard. But I felt like I could Christianize karate. And we did. We started praying before and after class. They had this thing called the 10 Articles of Faith that everyone had to read every class. And I looked at them, and it was all about basically worshiping your grand master and honoring your teachers and how to, you know, be loyal to the school. And it was just articles of faith. These are not articles of faith. This is article of, you know, developing a cult. And I developed a thing which really launched the whole program. It was called the 10 Virtues of the Christian Soldier. I just real quickly want to read them. So we changed this whole system to faith and trust in God, honor and obey your parents, respect our teachers and seniors, love your husband or wife, loyalty to family, friends, and country, charity to students and juniors, honesty in all we do and say, discernment between good and evil, focus and endurance in all we undertake, and courage and humility in battle. And so we would take these, and we taught this to kids, and we'd go to tournaments, and we'd have big crosses on our uniform. And I'm going to tell you, we got a lot of complaints. I got a lot of nasty, nasty emails. The Eastern mysticism guys were like, you know, I can't wait to see you at a tournament. We're going to, you know, yada, yada, yada. And they didn't. We were really good. We had some really good teachers. But I started getting requests for my 10 Virtues as a Christian Soldier. And a bunch of independent schools were coming along. I think we had about 100 people that were using our curriculum there for a while. So the reason I bring this up to you is that I think as men, we forget to minister at our church. And I think we all kind of struggle, what should I do at the church, right? My recommendation is, first of all, be an usher. If you want to get involved in church, just start. That's the easiest thing you can do. It's only Sunday morning. Start off with being an usher. You'll find out quickly how much fun it is to be in ministry. And then I'd say, just take who you are. I was a businessman. I was a person who loved theology. I loved the Lord. And I found a way with my brother to bring a ministry that absolutely ministered to the people of our church. Most of the kids who came to our were fatherless kids. Mothers were bringing their kids to us as examples. Teach them a little bit of physical discipline. Let them hear the gospel every 3 times a week, right? So there's all kinds of opportunities to minister. You have to minister in your church. Start off with ushering. It's a great way to start. I'm ushering now. I mean, you know, you go to a new church, you know, I think it's a great way to start in. You get to meet people, and then you find your way through. But we should always be looking for a way to minister. I think men need that more than anything. We need to sharpen each other. We need to be able to be in a group where we're doing something together, something productive, something for others, right, other than ourselves. And so my message is very quick and very clean. Get in ministry. Find a ministry, develop a ministry, take whatever skill you have, and if whether to you repair cars or whatever it is, There is a way to use everything, even something as crazy as Eastern mysticism martial arts, that you can bring that into the church and purify it and do it in God's name and in His honor, and He'll bless you. And because of that, I think a lot of the things that we did at Christ Church is why we grew so quickly. We had a lot of people who ministered. I think we had as many people ministering as we had people that we were ministering to. And I think that's what really grows a church. So we need you guys. Whatever church you go to, find a way to minister. And I think not only will you find it the greatest thing that ever happened to you, but you will change lives. Okay. Thank you very much for giving me a little bit of time to share. I feel very fortunate to be here in the Holy City. I really do. I love the 18th century. I'm locked in the 18th century. I remember one of the things, one of the articles of faith of the Eastern mysticism was never retreat in battle. I'm a Revolutionary War guy. George Washington and Nathaniel Greene retreated in every battle. You know, thank God, right? And so, you know, you find things wrong. I remember reading these things saying, man, I don't agree with any of this stuff. Just look for stuff. Look for things that you can bring yourself into ministry. And that's my message for you today. So God bless you. God bless America. God bless our diocese. All right. Thank you. All right, thank you.